Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust.
We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Chuck.
This is Greg.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, the podcast is about to get weird. It's been a long time, but we're going to go back to one of our favorite things to do, and that is collecting crazy and weird news stories from all across the world, internet, and the interwebs. But before we get to the craziness, how's the week been going for you guys?
My week is, I guess, kind of boring. I don't know. Not much, too much going on, but
mine's also boring, Chuck. So it's no big thing.
Sticking with the exercise routine, and that's going well. I'm losing some weight and getting stronger, so that's always good.
You get
good, strong
enough, you can maybe play for the Orioles, and they need some. You know, people can throw punches. Yeah.
I was thinking that. You know, Manny Machado, you know, got a pretty good punch in there in the that brawl, but. I don't know if he's going to get suspended at all. I know they were talking about it.
The way they were talking about it, it's like the pitcher does that a lot. So they're like, yeah, he had it coming to him. It's like, all right, then there you go. So,
yeah, it was kind of a douche move because they said it was like completely unprovoked. Yeah. Like he didn't do anything. But yeah, other than that, not much. I mean, I feel good. One thing I will say, exercise seems to help me mentally too for some reason. Like maybe it's the increased blood flow and everything, but I usually feel more focused and alert and stuff. So nice, that's always good.
Greg, how are things going with you?
I never feel focused and alert from workouts at all. I don't know what it is about me. I just feel like crap after everyone. So
you're doing it wrong.
Apparently, I'm trying to do what everybody else is doing, but
maybe you're overdoing it.
Are you watching every montage from Rocky and just trying to reenact every single thing he does? Like, you don't have to go that far with it.
It's really hard to run. Yeah, it's really hard to run in 2 feet of snow.
Yeah, but I only run in that 2 feet of snow for about maybe like 3 seconds. So it's not
hard
too
just
bad.
Getting there, though, that's the hard part, you know.
I mean, what got me was lifting the big net full of boulders in the barn. That's a tough one to do, you know.
Yeah, that one gets me every time. But no, I've been working out. I really need to stick to my diet more. I'm probably not going to be that great at it this weekend. I'm going to be going to some kind of conference with my boss down in Harrisburg, so I'll probably be eating terribly. And today he brought back pretzels from the Philadelphia Pretzel Factory, so like those are just way too damn tempting, especially with the little cup of cheese that comes with it.
Cheese is always
so
best when it's served in the cup.
I know. I know a good place you can go, Greg, because I've been to Harrisburg a few times for trainings for my work, and a really good suggestion I have. It's called Kokomo's. It's on Second Street.
Can I take it fast?
Or you can take it slow, you know, whatever you want to do.
That's where I want to go.
Yeah.
Kokomo.
Way down. It's way down there on Second Street.
Okay.
But they have really good wings, among other things. But you might want to check that out if you have a little dilemma where to go.
Cool, because I think one night there's some kind of setup with the conference where we're having food at some restaurant that they have it hooked up with, and then also you guys were talking about baseball, and I kind of faded out while you were talking about that because I find baseball uninteresting, but I get to go watch a 2-star baseball game or whatever league. It's a lesser league. Yeah. So I get to watch
some
baseball.
It's 2.5 stars. It wasn't that great of a league.
Yeah. I will probably just be trying to, I'll probably just be buying overpriced drinks and drinking beer the whole time to keep myself occupied.
With double A games, they're usually not nearly as overpriced as they are for with the majors, but still, you know, they have the price for sure.
Yeah, it's still overpriced.
That's how they make their money. Very cool. I mean, my week's been was very typical until today. Not an omen. I don't know what it was. Very serendipitous because I was driving my normal route to work. I get off my exit. I look to my right and I see a guy on a unicycle and just on a unicycle on a major road, like using it for transportation, had a hat with goggles on. I'm like, that's just a sign we need to do news of the weird. Like, that's just.
And he had goggles on.
Like,
how fast was he going?
He got some. I was impressed. The balance and the speed. It was a good combination. So
I'm not an expert on unicycles, but do they have brakes?
I would assume so. I don't. Yeah, I guess you would just go backwards, maybe.
I don't know. Like if you're going down a hill and picking up speed, like what the hell do you do?
He had him pretty like. He was on a pretty major road too, so you know with red lights and everything like that. So, I don't know. I would assume you had brakes. No idea.
Even more important question: was he juggling while doing it?
Such a slacker, you know. Whatever.
I know. Like, come on! If you're gonna do it, go all out.
But also, often I go in like different moods of to like you know like to start the year. I was really into comics. I've kind of gone out, but now I've been really getting into movies again, and I've been trying to catch up with a few things. I'm trying to knock off films from my list of shame that I did on Cinema Geeks not too long ago, but also just checking stuff out on Netflix, and a documentary I came on there that I've been wanting to see. I actually heard about it from listening to Doug Loves Movies podcast, and it's about a wrestler that I used to be a big fan of when I was a kid, and it's Jake the Snake Roberts. And I know, Chuck, I'm pretty sure you're probably familiar with him, right?
Oh, yeah, I was... He wasn't my favorite, but I was definitely a big fan. I remember him.
I don't know if you ever saw the documentary Beyond the Mat, where he's a big part of that documentary, and he's goes into his life. Mm. He's a pretty big alcoholic, and he has a really bad relationship with his family within that. What this documentary that...
Well, he does carry a giant snake around.
Yeah. That doesn't really bode well for building relationships. But this documentary is actually called The Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts, and it's about... his road to attempt to for recovery, basically. And the premise of it is that he moves in with a fellow wrestler, former wrestler, like one of the guys he actually helped bring up, which was Diamond Dallas Page, DDP, who was actually really popular when I was into wrestling back in the day. And like I guess DDP, for those that don't know, which is probably a lot of people, he's kind of developed this yoga system, this workout system. We're talking about exercising, like this, you know, this way to try to become healthier. And he brings him there to try to clean his life up. And the documentary itself, I would say, like the how well it's made, it's not great filmmaking. It almost borderlines on an infomercial at times. But this Jake the Snake, Jake Roberts, the character, the person, he does make it rather captivating because you do see him going through this epic struggle of alcoholism, abuse, and like everything it really takes out of him. And it's fascinating in that stance, like how he just continues to fail and tries to get back up. And it's quite interesting in that aspect. It's about almost a year process of his life in this house with these people. And I would say even if you're not into wrestling, you'd probably enjoy it because there's not a great deal of wrestling. It's more about him as a person. And it's available on Netflix now, so I think it's worth free. It's about less than 2 hours, and I think it's a pretty solid documentary. Again, nothing amazing. It could have been better if this was in a more capable filmmaker. Probably would have been really great. Like I think Beyond the Mat is actually a really good documentary. It's much better than this, but I think it's just I don't know. I think it's a fascinating story to watch. So, but
what was the
resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts? So,
okay, are there like a lot of other wrestlers in it, or just those
DDP?
Two
also, for... Scott Hall, Razor Ramon shows up there's some interviews with other wrestlers too, like Chris Jericho, some other old school guys. The beginning of it kind of starts with giving you an idea of who Jake the Snake Roberts is, his like how he became who he was. So there's some other wrestlers. Not some of the bigger names weren't there. I was actually kind of surprised how much footage they got of him from the WWE because. they're usually pretty protective of what they allow people to use. So I don't know if they had a partnership with them or what have you. But so there was a lot of old school footage in there as well. So but I also know, Chuck, I know you've been reading a hell of a lot. And we talked about Rebirth last week, and you've also read that and a few other things. I don't know if you want to, what you want to start with, but I know you have a lot to talk about.
I guess we could start with the DC Rebirth one. I finally caught up to it a little bit, just a week late from when you guys were talking about it, but I was finally able to get down there and pick it up. And it is definitely a big book. I think it's a double size 64 page issue or something like that. The only thing I regret, I did not follow the instructions on the bottom of the first page because I did not read Justice League number 50 first.
I didn't either. So
I immediately defied the instructions, and I feel like I am probably missing a few key components to it.
How dare you comic tell me what to do? I will show you. You're not my master.
And it's weird because it's like you open it up and they're like, you know, the inside of the cover is totally black, and then it just goes right into the story. And I was not prepared for those directions immediately. So, but maybe she should put it on the cover, you know, like read these first. But I love the art in this. I really like it a lot. I think Ethan Van Sciver, he's one of my favorites as far as DC stuff. I think he might have worked on Sinestro Corps War a little bit and stuff like that.
He worked on Blackest Night and what the other one was. I forget the opposite of that.
Oh, Brightest Day.
Yeah,
he did a lot of Green Lantern stuff, and I love the way he draws the Green Lantern stuff, and even his work in this is pretty amazing. Ivan Reese I like a lot too, so I was pretty happy to see both of those guys involved in this, because I really do enjoy their stuff, and I think when I can really get behind the artwork, it just makes it all that more enjoyable for me anyway to read a story. So, but there's some pretty amazing visuals in here with like Kid Flash kind of fading in and out of the Speed Force and like trying to come in contact with people that you know, he's trying to get to remember him and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool concept and pretty amazing artwork, the way they depicted all that. And it was kind of like, it kind of made me think of, you know, the TV show a little bit, just like, just some of the similarities with the Flash and stuff. It was interesting that, you know, he was in the Speed Force, because they kind of did that a little bit in the Flash TV show, even though the way they did it was like completely different than in the comic here, but just another variation of sort of being in the Speed Force and sort of being consumed by it or something like that. So very interesting, I thought. Pretty cool that Barry was the one to actually remember him instead of everybody else. So I thought that was really cool. I'm excited to see where it goes from here, but I got to be honest, I'm not like really at all adept at, you know, the history of the Watchmen or anything like that. I really don't know much about them at all. So I was kind of confused at the end, really wasn't quite sure what it meant. I read a couple articles during the week that were sort of explaining it a little more. And honestly, that aspect of it sort of like turned me off a little bit. When they're talking about Dr. Manhattan being so powerful that he's like controlling this and stuff like that. I mean, it was a little odd to me, and maybe it's just my unfamiliarity with the character, but it was exciting, you know, reading through the whole thing, but it was sort of a little bit of a letdown for me when I got to the end and found out like sort of who was behind it. I guess I expected a more DC, like a more DC universe grounded character. I know Watchmen was done by DC, but like a little bit of a separate universe. So I was kind of a little bit thrown off by that, but I did like the story. A ton of questions I have, and I know, you know, reading some of the back issues and stuff like that might fill in some gaps for me. And some of them haven't come out yet. I think, as we're doing this now, the Flash Rebirth number one came out yesterday, so I have not gotten a chance to pick that up yet, but I do intend to do that. And some other stuff, like I'm not sure who the girl is that's Green Lantern, because I have not been following that. And I thought it was interesting that, like, Ted Kord is still alive, the Blue Beetle, and then they're talking about the scarab for the new Blue Beetle, Jaime Reyes, has like some magic involved because we had Dr. Fate come in. I thought that was pretty interesting. If you remember, like in the Young Justice cartoon, it was more of like alien technology sort of thing. So I'm kind of interested to see where they go with that. So a lot of, not really loose ends, but a lot of avenues that they can explore and take this in a lot of different directions. So I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. I got to say, I'm more excited for it than I was for the New 52. So I guess that's a good sign. Did you read any of New 52 at all? Not really, no. I mean, I did get into the first one a little bit, the very first like story, and obviously I saw the animated movie and stuff too. I thought about picking up the Sinestro Corps comic because that looked really interesting, but I did not get around to doing that. But I don't know, I heard a lot of like sort of better expectations for this than New 52. Like people, I guess there was some mixed emotions about New 52, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I think like from what I hear from a lot of people, because I've been spotty when it comes to New 52 stuff. A lot of it started off well. A lot of like things were good. Like Scott Snyder's Batman was mostly positively received. Green Lantern started off strong, but then like the last 2 years has been kind of garbage. And just like it seems like there was a lot of potential that just wasn't really realized. And Superman's been kind of a mess lately with all the weird things they've been doing with him. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued about it. I know I'm not super super familiar with Watchmen either, but what I am, I do wonder what it's going to be like. And I don't per se think it means that now the Watchmen characters are going to be in the DC universe per se. I took that more as a reaction to what has become the DC characters, and a lot of people point to Watchmen as the thing that changed the way people perceive superheroes, because it made things a little bit more cynical in a way, I guess. And I think people tried to recreate try to reimagine that success later on, and it caused, I think, no one ever quite got there to it, and maybe some things lost the spirit of what they were meant to be. So maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I kind of took it as. So I don't know if it entails, again, I've only read Rebirth, I have not read any of the other ones, but I know you did read Superman Rebirth. I don't know if that gave you any more idea of like what direction they're going.
Not really. I mean, it was a little bit more focused on, you know, there's an ongoing story, I guess, that I am kind of a little bit behind on, because I didn't read, I think it's Superman number 52 or something it says to read. But like the regular Superman is on this different Earth, and that Earth Superman was killed in a battle with somebody, and it doesn't really say who it was, but I think it was a flashback. So I get the feeling if you read the other one, you probably would know, but people are probably screaming at their computers right now listening to this, but I am really behind. So I did not get what happened there or anything like that. And you know, they go into like him, you know, this Superman from like the Earth that we usually know, the one that, you know, died in the fight against Doomsday, because they talk about that a lot in this issue. He's on this other Earth, and you know, he's talking to Lana Lang, who is in a relationship with the Clark on that Earth, or was in a relationship with him. And you know, she mistakes him for Clark, and which he is Clark, but a different Clark. But he's explaining to her he's not the one that she knows. He's from a different Earth. And he was explaining that he expects this Superman to come back to life because he did after his battle with Doomsday. And it wasn't so much that he was killed, it was just that he was sort of in this really deep sort of Kryptonian coma type thing. And so they go looking for a Kryptonian artifact in this Superman's Fortress of Solitude, but they weren't able to find it there and stuff like that. So it's some pretty interesting stuff. It's you know, obviously, like being a Superman title, it was completely centered on the Superman story, so it didn't really expand too much on the Watchmen angle or anything like that. There wasn't even a mention of the Flash or Flashpoint or anything like that in it, so it was kind of unrelated on that front. But in its own right has a pretty interesting story going on as you're kind of waiting for this other Superman to possibly kind of come back to life like the one we know did. So that was pretty interesting.
Do you feel like, I guess you haven't read a lot of new, but does this Superman that you're reading feel like the Superman that you're a fan of? Does it feel any different than maybe even the movie Superman or what you have seen from the new 52 Superman?
It's hard to tell, you know, just going off one issue, but it did feel a little bit more like, you know, the old Superman kind of, maybe, you know, wasn't quite, I don't know if you would say rigid or
cold,
you know, stoic, cold, whatever you want to say, as the new 52 version. So it does feel a little bit more like the old Superman, because he's kind of a little bit more compassionate the way he's explaining things to Lana and stuff like that. We don't really get to see him in a fight scene or anything like that. You don't see a whole much of him, so because they're just kind of setting things up right now. But it's really cool how he goes back through and talks about his battle with Doomsday. It was sort of like a memoir as he's going back through the battle and what was going through his mind when he fought Doomsday. And there's a ton of great visuals. There's some really great artwork in those few pages where they're going back through that. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. So, I mean, I would recommend it if you're, you know, getting into the whole new rebirth thing. I would definitely pick up the Superman one because it's definitely interesting.
Cool. Very nice. Greg, I also know that you apparently are highly into white collar crime, if I'm not mistaken.
I think there's some more comic book stuff that Chuck would like to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you... Oh, yes. You finally also read the comic about our childhood favorite drama series of real life teenagers with attitudes, Power Rangers.
That's right. The teenage soap opera that we all watched. Yeah, I was able to... I only picked up issue zero, though, however, with the new Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic from Boom Studios. And I got to say, I was really impressed with it. It is really good. I don't know if there were, I'm assuming there was some more variant covers, but I got the one with the Green Ranger sort of holding the sword facing down. It's sort of a close shot. You don't see his head or anything like that.
I think that's the one I have, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool.
There's a whole bunch of different variants, yeah.
That was the only one I could find when I did buy it. So, but I was happy with it. I think it's a pretty cool cover. And actually, I like the artwork in this a lot for the most part. Not so much in the Adventures of Bulk and Skull story.
Yeah, that's it's a little bit more cartoon.
Yeah, it's a little bit different style. And I don't know, I wasn't crazy about that little bonus story overall anyway. But the main story, and I think it's... I'm not sure how to pronounce this guy's name at all, but Hendry Presayetia or something like that. Presetia? I don't know.
Close enough.
Dan's like, yes. Yeah, I like it a lot, actually. I like the artwork. It definitely takes me back to watching that show growing up. Like, I know it was huge when I was in, like, fourth grade. And I know, Dan, you and I used to, like, talk about it in school and stuff because we were, like, so into it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the toys and everything, you know. It's a good time.
Oh, yeah. There was one Christmas when I got, like, all the action figures. It was, like, awesome. It was Power Rangers.
Back before a podcast, you would actually just talk about stuff in real life. And, yeah.
Right. And you wouldn't record it. And have
only if we did, though. It would be amazing. Yeah.
It would. It really would. But, no, I thought this was really cool. I like how they sort of mingled in with their school life. And I think, like, I don't know if it's just me personally, but a lot of this media that I've been consuming lately is more so of people like my current age, and you know, they have jobs and they're starting families and things like that. So it was cool to kind of go back into the shoes of like a high school kid and sort of see that stuff. It was cool to go back to that, and it really, really was effective taking me back to that time. So I think they did a good job of depicting all the characters. Like I mentioned, the art is great. Seeing the Megazords on there was pretty awesome. And, you know, Tommy making the little mistake there and, you know, hitting the bridge and stuff like that. But pretty cool comic, I got to say. I wanted to get the other ones. My only problem with this is they're $4 each.
Ouch.
So a little bit more expensive than... you know, like the DC ones were $3 each. This was $4 each because I wanted to pick up issues 1 and 2, especially issue 2. I really liked the cover. There was a huge image of the Megazord on it, which was pretty awesome. I may still pick that up, but I'm thinking about just kind of waiting until a trade comes out or something like that.
Yeah,
have it all collected. But I'm really liking it though, and I would love to continue reading it. So it's definitely kind of got me hooked.
Nice, very cool.
And Funko has some more Power Ranger pop vinyls coming out that look really awesome, by the way.
So how much do they pay you to like put those plugs in?
Nothing. Nothing at all. But they look completely awesome. I think I retweeted it on my Twitter. Yeah. And I think I replied, I want all of those.
Are they doing a White Ranger one? I might have to get that one.
No, they said they're coming out with more, though. I think that's green, red, black, and yellow. No, there was a blue. Blue was there. I forget the exact colors, but it was definitely the Green Ranger and not the white one. But they said they're going to come out with more. So
nice. I just wanted to add, I'm really glad that they chose this specific team and this specific story to start with, because this is the era of Power Rangers that I loved and that I really enjoyed so much. I think I watched maybe one season after that where they had like the different team with all the new people.
They got like cars and then after whatever, that, I remember something like Turbo.
But after that, I think it was the guy that replaced Jason as the Red Ranger, I think it was Rocky or something like that.
Yeah, Rocky was terrible.
I think I watched part of a lot of that season and that team. But after that, I just like totally got away from Power Rangers and it was just sort of a lost thing. I totally got away from it. So I'm really glad when, you know, they chose to do a comic, they did this particular team. Cause if they did another one, I really probably would have no interest in it at all. Yeah. So.
Very cool. All right. Any more comments? I mean, you're on a reading spree, man.
Yeah, I was. I don't know. Nothing else this week, but we'll see what next week has in store.
Greg, what about you?
Well, I've been watching a show called White Collar, and I started watching the show a couple years back, but I finally left it after like a season or two, and I really enjoyed the first couple of seasons, but there was other stuff out and I was waiting for the next season to come out, and then all of a sudden time passed by and the show was completely over, so I finally got to sit down and watch all of that. I love White Collar. It's about the White Collar crime division of the FBI. It's about this one specific criminal that gets caught. He's one of the best con men out there, and he gets kind of recruited by the FBI, and he's got a collar around his ankle to keep track of him and everything. So he's trying to pull off his cons while the FBI is trying to keep him in tow and have him help them out, which he does help them out a lot. But then he tries to get away with little things here and there. I think it's a great show. I would definitely check it out. It's a lot of art crime, con men type of stuff. So you learn interesting little facts about how these con men kind of pull things off. And I like those kind of things. It's like a Burn Notice thing, which I also have to finish, where they bring you in to this place and kind of show you how they do their business and everything, which I find really interesting to get behind the eyes of like a con man. And like, he's always, he's the criminal in this, Neil Caffrey, is like super talented, and they always have interesting little secondary storylines that go throughout the season. And then they start up another one for the next season, and they always have interesting things with that. The only complaint I really have about the show is the last episode ever, I felt, didn't really stick with the character that they had developed over the years on the show. I felt like they kind of went away from who Neil Caffrey is and who he was becoming. I felt like it was kind of a cop out at the end. But overall, I really enjoyed the show. And this is one of the shows that if I ever did have time, I would definitely go back and rewatch again because it was a lot of fun.
I always get that show and Suits confused.
Yeah, they're similar style of look going on, but I think Suits isn't that more lawyery type of thing.
I assume so, or about people with good fashion sense. I'm not sure, one of the two. But, have you ever watched the show Leverage? Well, they talk about like con artists and stuff like that. It was on TNT for a while.
No, I never watched Leverage. No, I know it was on TNT, but I've never watched Leverage.
You might enjoy that. That's kind of one of those things where it is, I would call it, it's very light in the sense of it's very serialized in each week, and then you kind of know the pattern of it, almost like a heist movie every episode, but it's a fun little show.
Yeah, this kind of falls into that episodic kind of thing.
You might, it sounds very similar to Leverage, so you might enjoy that. So, very cool. I was going to wait to talk about this, but it actually fits. So I'll actually talk about this movie now. Actually, a film I really ended up loving, and it makes sense because we're talking about News of the Weird, because it's a very weird film, but it's The Lobster, starring Colin Farrell. I don't know if you guys have heard about it at all. But
no idea what that is.
Lobster it is, Johnson?
No, unfortunately. So the movie The Lobster, it's about this kind of, I wouldn't say dystopian future, but it's almost like a parallel universe where people are required to get married. And if there's situations where they're not, or they get divorced or someone passes away, they go to this hotel. And at the hotel, they are required to try to pair off with someone within a 45-day period. And if they don't, they then get transformed into some sort of animal. And it's whatever animal of their choice. And for Colin Farrell, he chooses a lobster because of its long life. And it stays fertile for much of its life. So it's a very insane premise. It doesn't necessarily get very much into the science of it. It's not really about that. But imagine, like, I don't want to say Monty Python, because Monty Python, it's super, it's a comedy, but it's super dry, and I will say almost awkward in a way, and but I found it very engaging, and it's one of my favorite films of the year so far, but I can also say it's a movie that I love, but it'd be difficult recommending it to, like, a lot of people, because it is so weird and unique, and that the tone of it is very universal, and I could see a lot of people within the first 10 minutes just walking out and hating it. But if you watch the first 10, 15 minutes and do enjoy it, keep going, and it's really great. I think it's a very good deconstruction of the way our culture views relationships, whether it be the way we view having to get married or stay single, in the way, too, of how, like, our culture and subcultures create these hierarchy of rules that you have to follow in order to be part of that culture, and then demonize anyone who's outside of it. It's very odd in that sense. It's actually from a Greek filmmaker. This is the first English language film that he made. It came out in England last year. It's actually been delayed for quite some time. But it's, you know, if you're looking for something that's really off the wall and strange, Greg, I could possibly see you liking it, because I do know you do like some, like, films that are kind of have odd premises. But I don't know. I did enjoy it a great deal. But I did want to bring it up since we are talking about weird stuff. It seems to fit today's episode.
That definitely fits the bill for it does, weird it news. Does.
Speaking of weird news, we'll get to that in just a bit right after this break.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast to your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
Alright, and welcome back, and I hope you are ready to get weird, because we are. We have scoured the world of the internet, most likely just doing a Google search and typing in weird news stories and finding out what pops up, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how we found them, it just means we found them. So what we're going to do is kind of just talk about them and discuss them and see what craziness this world is really like. And does anyone have any particular weird story that they are chomping at the bit to share?
I'll go first. So we've all been working out, right? Chuck and myself have been working hard, trying to get fit. But we're not going as far as this one person. I got this off of IF Press. Never heard of them before. But there's apparently a mom that hasn't been breastfeeding her child since she had it 20 years ago.
Oh, wait.
But she is breastfeeding.
What? She had the kid's 20 years old and she's breastfeeding?
Yes, but not the child. She is breastfeeding her 36-year-old boyfriend, who is a bodybuilder and is using her breast milk to help improve his workouts. Apparently, she has to do a lot of things to help her breasts produce the milk because she hasn't breastfed for 20 years. Which apparently she had the kid when she was 16, if their age was the same as her boyfriend. But apparently he spends nights have been a struggle because Brad sleeps so peacefully, but we managed to cope until he falls asleep latched onto me, which is beautiful.
Oh, that is a mental image I do not want.
And apparently this is her regimen to make it so her breasts keep producing. Her body needs some coaxing to induce milk flow. She pumps her breasts every 2 hours, takes herbal meds, and eats a special diet to initiate lactation and maintain milk supply.
Man, she's a trooper for sure.
Right? And then this also ties into my real life because at work we have this woman who just had a child and she leaves her breast pump around out for anybody to view, especially when you come right in the door for deliveries. The delivery guys just see her breast pump sitting there. And then also in the sink in the little dryer pouch thing, she has all of her equipment sitting there from when she cleaned them out after producing. So that's always fun.
I won't say this often to that guy though, and it's basically what just happened to steroids? Good old fashioned steroids. If you really, I mean, I think...
what happened to buying milk at the supermarket?
Not good enough, Chuck. You need it straight from the human breast.
That woman is a saint. Okay, for doing that for him, because I mean that stuff is painful too. Like for her to go through that every single day for him, like, gosh, this woman should get a medal. She should get his medal if he wins a competition. I don't know. That's kind of I don't know. I guess
very creepy.
Like, how many things did they try until they settled on that as the thing that they were going to do?
Like, I know.
What else did they try to drink? And it seems interesting. Wow. There you go. That's a, kicking us off strong, Greg. Kicking us off strong.
Thank you.
Chuck, do you have a story you wanted to bring up?
I'll step it up a notch here a little bit. I'll go with one that I heard a couple of weeks ago, actually, but I sort of have been saving it for this moment. And I'm sure maybe some other people heard of this because it was on a couple of the more popular news sites. But a couple of weeks ago, there was a man in Thailand, or as Alan from Hangover would say, Thailand. And their main exports are textiles. This guy from Thailand was sitting on the toilet, just, you know, minding his own business, taking a dump. And a pipe threw the toilet drain and latched onto his penis.
I am seriously, I am afraid of snakes coming up out of the toilet. I have seriously had that run through my brain.
Get ready to be more scared because it really happened. And it wasn't like a huge, huge python. Like it was really fat or anything, because obviously it wouldn't have been able to fit up through the drain. But you're talking probably, I don't know, like a 4 or 5 footer. As you know, they're not venomous. So, you know, they swallow their prey and everything, but they need a lot of teeth to maintain the grip on their prey. So they have, like, I don't even know what it is. It's like 100 teeth in their mouth. So imagine that.
Just does he clamping. Spit or swallow? Okay.
Yeah, they swallow, but all of it.
Right. Imagine, you know, 100 tiny teeth just clamping onto your manhood. It's just enough to
I'd rather not.
Send a chill. So anyway, the guy, I guess, you know, rightfully freaked out. He's screaming and for his wife and everything. So his wife comes in to help him try to get this thing off, because like they don't just like kind of bite you and then back off. They latch on and clamp down like a snapping turtle, and they pretty much do not let go. So they're trying to get this thing off of his member, and him and his wife can't do the job. She runs and gets the neighbor next door to come and help them. Just what you want your neighbor helping you doing, you know, on a weekend. Hey, you want to help me out with something? So they come over. It takes them 30 minutes to get this snake off of him.
Oof, jeez.
And he lost a lot of blood and everything. The guy turned out to be okay. I'm sure he had some minor surgery, even though that's not minor. It's major surgery right there. Hopefully they gave him a local anesthetic there on that. But they said they had to extract the snake from the drain. So they actually had to dismantle the toilet and take it apart to get the snake out. And for any reptile lovers out there, the snake did survive, so the snake's okay.
Oh, apparently. Thank God for that. Thank God.
Right. But let me just say that the snake would not be alive if this happened to me. I would have hacked that thing's head off really fast. But yeah, I cannot imagine that happening. That's just like, I mean, I'm sure we've all had that thought at one point in time, like, just kind of like you're kind of freaked out, like wondering if something's going to come up through the toilet. But yeah, you know, sometimes it really does happen, actually, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Every time I'm going to use the bathroom now, I'm going to just keep checking. Reminds me of like there's a like a video of someone flushing a toilet in Australia, and they do so, and like this gigantic spider is flushed under. You see it's crawling, and it's like, yep, yeah. So
yeah. But talk about like the worst place to be bit by it, too. Like not in the leg or the butt cheek, but just, yeah, right on the old manhood there. Oof.
Man. Ow.
Not good.
Gotta been, you know, wow, there you go. Different, much different, makes the whole snake in the trousers a whole lot different, but. Well, this is a little bit on a lighter note than that. Jeez. I know you guys, you know, Greg, you've had pets before. You've had a dog, and Chuck, I know you've had a dog, and I've had a dog previously as well. And so there was a man in Russia who also had a dog, had two dogs. And he noticed, like, these dogs were giving him a lot of trouble, unexpected trouble. They were, you know, they were friendly for the most part, but they just had these gigantic appetites where he simply could not keep them fed enough. And he ended up actually, like, even eating things like his chickens that he had. And they would, he would chase things, and just he would having the worst time in the world. Well,
is this guy's name Pavlov?
It was not. But one day, though, like, I guess for whatever reason, he ends up going to a local zoo or animal exhibit, basically. And when he's going through it, he realizes something as he gets into the bear exhibit. And that's the fact, those animals that he thought were dogs are not dogs, but they're actually bear cubs. So he had them for about, yes, what he thought were dogs were really bear cubs. So he ended up reporting them back, but they were Asian black bears, and apparently a protected species, but he found them in the woods, and some people expect maybe they were from poachers or what have you, but yeah.
Okay, so how clueless do you have to be to mistake dogs for bears?
I mean, if you see these Asian black bears, I mean, they look somewhat like dogs. They have, like, their ears are around like dogs, and their faces a little bit, and they're on all fours like you would expect a dog, but yeah, they look still like bears. So I don't know if he's just like, you know, we're Russian, we grow bears bigger in Russia, or we grow dogs bigger in Russia, but yeah, so it's kind of crazy, so.
In Soviet Russia, dog eats
exactly,
you.
Exactly, so there you go.
That's pretty crazy.
But Greg, shooting it back over to you, what other crazy news you got for us?
Apparently, guys, I'm getting divorced.
Ooh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even know I was married. But a woman is divorcing her Zimbabwean husband, which I didn't know I was Zimbabwean.
A Nigerian prince figure in this anyway, by any chance?
Right. No, he does not. It's just solely about me. I don't know why they're saying I'm Zimbabwean, but after 3 days of marriage to this woman, we had to get divorced, and she claims it was. Oh, and this is her. This is her second marriage, and I feel really bad for her, but I did get back my Lobola, whatever that is, and all the money I spent on her during courtship, which amounted to 68,000 R. I don't know what the R is, rubies, I don't know. But I got all that back. But she had to dissolve the marriage because she could not bear the size of my manhood any longer. She divorced me because my penis was too large.
Well, I mean, there you go.
I could see, you know, that being pretty painful, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
apparently he was giving it to her often, too. Like, I don't understand. Well, maybe they were saving it for marriage, but like,
is there any chance that maybe
think she would have found out about it beforehand?
This guy was also related to the guy in Chuck's story, and that's where the snake came in, and she was just trying to eliminate the problem altogether.
You think he would have tried to at least get it off then, if before he inserted it in? Because I don't think a snake works well as a condom.
No, it does not. Well, it's less likely of falling off, but for the wrong reasons. So.
I get the idea you're living vicariously through this guy.
This story was about me. Really, I don't know why they say I'm from Zimbabwe, but
I mean, when I do see you, I'm like, that is a man from Zimbabwe. He looks like a man from Zimbabwe. Well, when you talk about divorce, actually, I'll do my story. So I just skip ahead of you, Greg or Chuck, because it involves divorce as well. And you know, with divorce, there are different ways of paying child support. Well, this must be the most Italian thing ever to happen in the history of ever. But in Italy, a chef got a divorce with his wife, and they do have children. And they agreed he had to pay $335 per month in child support, but he was having challenges doing so. So in lieu of money, he decided, and the judge and wife agreed, that he would pay in pizza. No word on if these were actually turtles, but he would basically get around the need of paying money by giving a pizza every month. So, I mean, I think it's fair. I mean, Chuck and I both are big fans of pizza when we eat it on Desert Island. So there you go. I mean, if you're going to, it shows you just all the different tools that you could use pizza for.
Yeah. I mean, wise men say forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late.
Exactly,
pizza.
Exactly. Maybe that's how he's getting around it too. He's just like ordering pizza, getting it late, and then giving it out. So he's got a system working for him. So, but
I would probably take pizza as payment.
Yeah, I mean, we should really use pizza for payment more often for everything. Really, I mean, trying to throw it into a vending machine if you want a cold soda or something like that. Why not?
It'd probably be like a more grateful and compassionate society, you know, if people were like paying in pizza, you know.
Gotta
be like, oh, thanks so much, Tim. You're awesome. You know, you look awesome today. Thanks so much.
Oh, and it's meat lovers. Oh, good choice. Yeah, nice. Very nice. Sorry to skip ahead of Chuck, but did you have another one?
That's all right. I got lots, Dan. I got lots. I could go all night.
Yeah, so could that one guy, apparently. So, or Greg, I guess, which was
let's see.
Greg from Zimbabwe. So,
this one's a pretty crazy story. This was from a long time ago, not a long time ago, but probably a few months ago. I remember reading about it. It just sort of popped into my head when we were researching this stuff. This was a story actually from China, and there was two front end loaders like at a construction site. You know, the big, big bucket loaders that you see on the sites, the big ones. There was this big construction project, a roadway project in China, sort of in an urban setting. There was a lot of buildings around and everything. These two front end loaders sort of start coming at each other and they start fighting. These guys.
They're Transformers.
Exactly. It looked like, and there's a video that goes with this and everything. Maybe I can toss the link in there for when the show comes out. It's pretty crazy to watch, actually, because the two of them start just kind of crashing into each other. And it's kind of like, you know, you see the bighorn sheep just kind of back up and sort of like ram each other. Like that's what they were doing with these two giant bucket loaders. And it just got crazy and it was starting to get out of hand. And like people were, you know, in the stores and shops and stuff nearby. And they weren't sure what was happening. They thought it was like an accident first, like a construction accident. But I guess what happened was like, it was two rival construction companies that were like fighting over this job. They were fighting over this work contract somehow. And apparently like these couple of guys, these operators were like really taking it personal. Cause they were kind of like, you know, diving in on their space a little bit on their turf. So they started duking it out with this heavy machinery. And third loader came in actually, and they kind of ganged up and they kept fighting. The one actually got tipped over. And it was just all crazy. I think a couple of people got hurt. The cops came, you know, and, you know, arrested a bunch of people and they're getting statements and everything. And it was this huge mess trying to get sorted out. But yeah, so crazy little fight with heavy machinery. I've never seen that before in my life. And if you watch the video, it's really amazing because you're like, what the hell is going on? This is like some sort of weird, like, sci-fi channel movie or something, like, something you would never see.
Become an actual sport.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like that thing where they would build the robots to like fight each other, the robot wars or whatever.
They battle bots. It's yeah. On TV again.
Yeah, except on a much larger scale. But like, it's crazy. I guess they said the disputes usually in China are sort of between like the residents and the contractors because they, you know, they don't want their property condemned. They don't want to be forced out, forced to move and things like that. So there's been some incidents that way, but never before between two contractors fighting over a contract. But, and I thought, you know, if people in this country were this eager to work, you know, we'd be a lot better off than we are. It's just, I can't imagine people fighting over a job. Like everyone here in America for the most part, it's just like, yeah, whatever.
we need more people fighting in big machinery, basically. And then we'll make it into a sport, right. And then there you go. So.
It's just this stark contrast of our two societies, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. It's like, I wonder who won. And then while they were duking it out, a fourth person came in and actually ended up doing it all. That's the sad part. Greg, what else you got?
Yeah, I got more penis things going on, but it's not me this time. Because a U.S. prison inmate can sue over removal of marbles from penis. That's the title of this article.
Man,
wait, marbles?
Marbles, yes.
How'd they get in there?
He was very into body modifications, like tattooing and stuff. And one of them, he put marbles implanted in and tattoos drawn on his penis in late 2008, prior to his incarceration. Yeah, he said the surgery left his penis with tingling and numbness and pain when it is touched or when it rains, snows, or gets cold. So I'm assuming a lot in a prison. I'm not sure if they really heat the prisons too well. I read the article, but I don't get why they apparently the prison wanted them removed because they thought it could be used as a weapon and contraband,
like a pea shooter.
Yeah, and then I guess so. And he said he didn't want to that would ruin his privacy or something like that. It very bizarre. It was a kind of a long article, and I got bit dribs and drabs out of it.
Just but, like he did.
Yeah. apparently, prison officials call him Marble Man, and when searching him where his marbles are, and that. Oh, they call him that when they search where his marbles are, and that gay inmates approach him because of how staff gossip about him.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
Yeah, I don't. Why would you mess around with that other than fun stuff? Like that does not seem like fun. No sharp objects around that area.
Put it this way. This guy deserves whatever the hell happened to him because he's a freaking moron.
Maybe right? It's really a defense mechanism. He's like, I'm going to jail, so let me just make sure that I can, you know, basically put like a self-guard down there so I don't have to worry about it.
But he made it ribbed for their pleasure. Like, what?
Perhaps. I don't know.
That's so weird. How the hell big were these marbles?
I don't want to know.
Are they like the big ones that you flick at the smaller marbles? Or are they?
I'm not sure whether they're Clearys or I'm not sure what marbles he was using.
Man. He must be really bored that day. Just like he got nothing else to do. Let's do this thing.
Maybe we should send him to a Chinese construction site. There's plenty for him to do there.
I had a story about pizza. I got another story about pizza, and just shows you the magic of pizza and what it can do for you. You may have heard of the story because actually it made the rounds of a lot of different news outlets. But it's a story about how eating Domino's can actually save your life. I don't know if you guys heard about this.
According to my diet,
I have not.
Well, apparently there was a man who had a pretty good relationship when it came to his local Domino's. So much so that those that worked there began to worry when he didn't start calling in for his regular daily order. And I guess, which is weird when you have a daily order.
There's got to be better pizza places out there.
Hey, I guess you like what you like, I guess. But so this guy, every other day, would order pizza from this place, and it didn't happen. So to the managers that worked there, credit, they actually thought, you know, maybe something's wrong. Maybe we should see what's going on. They ended up sending one of their pizza delivery persons to the house to see, hey, you know, what's up? What's going on? Which has got to be kind of weird, you know, just in general. If somebody, a pizza man from Domino's, knocks on your door and it's like, hey, why haven't you ordered pizza recently? It's got to make you think of...
Just wonder why you haven't ordered a pizza lately.
Well,
just wondering where you are.
Well, when they knocked, no one answered, but they heard the TV on, the lights were on, so they ended up calling the police. And when they went in, they actually found that the guy had a stroke, and which has caused the issue. But them getting there and the police coming was able to help him and allow him to survive. So this man ordering pizza every other day ended up saving his life, and thanks to the manager who thought, let's send someone out as a search party to see what's going on with them. So it's a bittersweet. I mean, possibly eating all that pizza could have contributed to his health problems, but hey, at least you know you got friends in high places. So
yeah, I'm gonna take a stab in the dark and say that may not have happened if he didn't eat a pizza every other day.
Oh, and not surprising, a man who eats a pizza every other day lives alone, so just throwing that out there.
Right.
But hey, you know, kudos for Domino's. It's probably the first time in the world that Domino's has saved someone's life. So
just waiting for the muscly out pizza boy.
Chuck, what else you got?
Well, another food related story, so that should be good. Those are always the fun ones. This one is actually it's not to do with pizza, but it's to do with McDonald's. And particularly a McDonald's in France. And I guess what happened was two men came into this McDonald's with the intentions of robbing the place. They were going to have a hold up. They were going to, you know, steal whatever cash they could and everything, try to get out of there. Unfortunately for them, they picked the worst possible McDonald's to try to rob, since there were 11 men there from what's called the GIGN, which is the French counterterrorism unit.
Oh, man.
it's sort of their version. It's kind of equivalent to our Navy SEALs, but not as good. but there's 11 of these guys, 11, you know, special forces guys from the French army, eating lunch. They're kind of off duty. Maybe they had a base nearby. I'm not sure. But so they said they violently took down these two men and foiled the robbery. And, you know, these guys have never regretted more picking the wrong McDonald's. oh my gosh, talk about the worst possible place to try to do that. But that was pretty crazy.
I wonder if it kind of went out like the scene from Coming to America where Samuel L. Jackson tries to rob the McDowell's restaurant.
Except that I'm guessing somebody didn't call them diseased rhinoceros pizzle.
I actually thought I didn't include it in mine, so I don't. But there was a story too of someone who was trying to rob. I don't think it was McDonald's. I think it was a convenience store or something like that. And the choice of the weapon that the cashier used to fend them off was flamethrower. Yeah, he like MacGyvered that shit like no tomorrow. He got like an aerosol can and a lighter, and it was using it to ward off these guys from coming in and robbing him. So.
Awesome.
Dude, he was probably planning that forever, and he finally got to use it, and he's like,
I know.
I'm actually going to break this out.
I actually have another restaurant robbery kind of going on. I have two parents that try to dine and dash, and they actually left behind their 10-year-old daughter. They were found not too far away drunk. Part of their bill was for drinks, so they were pretty trash. The bill was $135. I'm assuming most of that was booze.
So they thought the kid would cover that?
I guess so. It was a 10-year-old kid. She's got to have a job by now.
We can't. We'll just give him she's at least worth $125. Jesus
Christ. Maybe they figured she could just wash the dishes or something for a couple hours.
Man. 10 years old is pretty old to just leave a wow, America. Okay, Chuck, you want to go give us what you got next?
Sure, I'll take a double turn here. My last one, this was of all the ones that I've had, I think I've had all three of mine and taken place in another country. So this is the first one that's actually in the United States, but. This actually happened in Jersey City, New Jersey, so you know it's going to be good.
Jersey or Florida? Yeah, either two is a good place to start.
Right. It's a pick 'em, whatever, pick your poison. But this guy was on, the banks of the New York Harbor, where the Hudson River is. He was out there very, very early in the morning. It was before 5 a.m., just kind of hanging out, was waiting around to see the sunrise. And, somehow he gets out into the water on a piece of plywood. That's sort of
never let go, Jack.
That's exactly what I thought of. he's got sort of on this piece of plywood, and just floating in the water. I have no idea. He's probably drunk or something. I don't know. But so he's floating on this thing and he sort of starts getting taken by the current of the Hudson River. So it starts taking him out, and he actually, this guy drifts, it's almost 2 miles, and they ended up spotting him, and they ended up rescuing him near Governor's Island, and which I know from my Spider-Man video game, because it was on there, but I guess he didn't want to jump in the water because he had his phone on him, his expensive phone, and he didn't want to get it ruined and everything. So, but he probably should have used it to call for help. So,
I guess get coverage out that far.
Right? Can you hear me now? I'm on a piece of wood in the Hudson. So I guess they had a rescue team. I don't know exactly who it was, but I don't know if it was the Coast Guard or somebody, but. He was super excited to see them. They said he was hugging everyone. And I'm okay. Yeah. You had a weird little thing happen, but it's not you were out at sea for 3 days, lost or something. You drifted 2 miles in the New York Harbor.
Yeah.
but yeah, I'm you're stupid anyway. When you got, kind of off the bank a little bit, you should have jumped back and just swam back over to the bank or the dock or wherever you were. But, just kind of a goofy, wacky story. But.
There you go. Well, I don't. Have you guys ever had neighbors that you weren't fans of? Maybe they were too loud, or for whatever reason.
I've pretty much had the same neighbors for about 31 years. I've and it's they're okay. I don't like the fact that they have a tree growing out right outside my window. That's always fun with the birds in the morning cawing from the tree.
Well,
so.
I mean, I know a guy who might be able to help you out with that because Albuquerque, New Mexico, a man also had some noisy neighbors, but apparently his neighbors were super loud because they were having very loud sex. So he was getting agitated and annoyed. So he did what anyone would do in that situation. Well, maybe not anyone. But he decided to basically set his apartment complex on fire to get away from the very loud neighbors who were having sex.
Logical solution?
He said he tried to burn anything he could think of, and he'd in hoping that things would catch on fire so he can spend a quiet night in prison. So, which, you know, actually ended up, wow. to be fair, his plan worked. So, I mean, in hindsight, he kind of got his mission accomplished. He ended up spending many quiet nights in prison while he didn't have to deal with his neighbors, though I don't know if he's really going to get away from the loud sex that he wanted to. He might be dealing with it in a whole different fashion. So,
this is a different story. When you started telling it, I thought I recognized it because there was something I heard similar, but the neighbor actually ended up calling the cops, and because of the noise from the neighbor's sex, and they ended up like going to a trial, and the judge ordered them to like pay them a certain amount of money to the other person or something. That was crazy too.
Really? But, Jesus.
but I didn't know you were going to go the arson route. That was a curveball.
Yeah, arson's always a curveball. You know what's sad about the one who got sued? It wasn't even a guy with another person. It was just him watching porn really loudly. So it was double embarrassing.
Yeah.
So that's anybody else, or is that are we all out of weird news stories?
Mine are pretty tame for the last couple. A woman getting stabbed with an umbrella that was flying through the air at a beach, and one of the Jaguars wide receivers is allergic to grass, so he's always looking forward to getting off the practice field.
Nice.
I saw that, Alan Hearns.
Allergic to grass. I mean, usually grass is a problem for football players for an entire different reason. So,
do not draft in fantasy this year.
It could be your last year, so geez, yeah. There you go.
I actually did have him last year.
That explains why he kind of shit the bed at the end of the year, though. Yeah. All right, well, yep. There's a lot of weirdness going on here, from movies to what... Apparently, we had a lot of stories that involved either food or genitals, because that's what we do here at Talking in Circles. So we'd like to know what you thought of those stories. You can do so by contacting us in a number of different ways. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, TCRN. You can also email us at feedback@dcastradio.com or talkinginCircles@live.com. You guys are also on Facebook and Twitter. Sorry, you guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at HeroicAgeChuck.
And I am at The Creep.
I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or a Zimbabwe man. Really large penis.
And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. What is Zimbabwe like this time of year, Greg?
A little warm down under. It's kind of like Australia.
You're dealing with a really big
snake. Yeah. To get there, they have to be on a plane, so... I have to be careful of Samuel L. Jackson wherever I go.
Do the black snakes moan?
When Christina Ricci is around, they definitely moan.
Are they unbreakable?
It depends on which state they're in.
So,
how many more Samuel L. Jackson references can we make? Is there any risk of being eaten by an intelligent shark?
No, but you may have to wear an eye patch.
Right. Okay. Does he say what again?